This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, Monday morning, starting off your work week here on 98.7, DPHRO and Rothenberg. Pat O'Keefe in for Dave today, sitting in alongside Rick after more of the same weekend on the baseball diamond in New York. The Mets continue to roll. The Yankees continue to struggle. And then, of course, the weekend, Rick got started with the Zach Wilson news on Friday afternoon, Friday evening in the Jets preseason opener as we await word on the Jets' second-year quarterback. So a lot going on. How was your weekend, man? How you doing today?
Weekend was good, buddy. Glad to have you. You know, Dave likes to get his vacations in here before the football season starts. So nice to have you in. Looking forward to the next couple of days. How was the wake up? All right.
The wake up was all right. You know, I was in studio in Bristol last night for the Yankees Red Sox game, and I'm driving home on 95 last night. Couldn't believe my luck that it happened to be a 2 hour and 15 minute Yankees Red Sox game. I was anticipating getting into bed at about 1:30 in the morning. So I got to give a big thank you to Michael Wacha and a big thank you to the Yankee bats who could muster just two hits in allowing that game to breeze along. So all good.
See, this is why I like you. This is why I like you. You take the positive. So a good thing the Yankees can't hit. Their offense stinks right now. Wacha hasn't pitched since, what, the end of June?
Yeah.
Wacha, Wacha.
And comes back and completely shuts them down.
Well, I'm sure.
So good, listen, good to have you, bud.
It's good to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm sure every Yankee fan, by the way, who's furious with this team's offense right now can take solace in the fact that I got an extra hour or an hour and a half of sleep. Because at the end of the day, that really is the most important thing when we're talking about the Yankees' playoff chances.
Listen, they have high expectations. You know how everyone loves Dave. So if you got an extra couple hours of sleep, as pissed off as they'll be, they got a fully rested Pat O'Keefe ready to rock and roll.
I feel like I'm channeling Dave Rothenberg by making the Yankees struggles and by making the Yankees loss all about me right now. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
So you do listen to the show. Well done.
Big well fan. Done. Big fan. Thanks for having me. I hope you have me back tomorrow. So, you know, we were deciding, do we start with positive Mets? Do we start with the negative Yankees? It's always more fun to start with the negative. But this weekend kind of felt like the weekend before. And the weekend before, where the Mets, and we'll get to them, of course, and they continue to roll, and they can't do any wrong right now offensively or pitching-wise. But the Yankees, now 3-9, Rick, in the month of August. And except for the fact that the rest of the American League East really can't seem to get out of their own way right now, except for the Baltimore Orioles, who are red hot. I mean, this thing could have gotten a whole lot dicier when you look at the fact that the Yankees' lead is still 10 games, but Toronto is 3-7. In their last 10 games, so they really haven't picked up any ground on the Yankees during this stretch. So I guess that's the positive right there. I can imagine if you had a red-hot team right behind you in the standings, how much the sky would be falling on this Monday morning as the Yankees continue to A, lose, and B, find trouble scoring any runs at all.
Yeah, it's amazing that we're sitting here today on August 15th, and you had mentioned the Mets, and you know, as a Mets fan, just watching them play right now, it's like I wish we could just bubble wrap everyone, and you know, most importantly, Jake and Max Scherzer, and just get to the postseason immediately because we're playing our best baseball right now. And you have the Yankees who are scuffling is probably an understatement. But, yeah, between the injuries, not scoring runs, I mean, you mentioned what's going on in August. I mean, they haven't won consecutive games this month. Finding ways to lose games. You know, Dave and I were talking about this as far as, you know, you'd get good starting pitching and you can't hit, or you could hit and you wouldn't get good starting pitching, or you know, you'd have a lead and Clay Holmes, who's been, I mean, he's an all-star, he's been lights out, all of a sudden now can't close games. So I mean, you lose this series, but the reality of the series is you probably should have won it. I mean, Clay Holmes is Clay Holmes, or the one we saw at the, you know, the first half of the season. and you win 2 of 3 as opposed to lose 2 out of 3. So, I mean, there are all different, you know, all different parts of this team that we thought earlier on when they got off to that, you know, we had Yankees fans calling and talking about the 98 Yankees. They were off to such a good start. I mean, will they break the, you know, the regular season wins record that, you know, guys that you thought you could count on now all of a sudden have become question marks?
Let's be honest. Clay Holmes in the first half of the season was better than Edwin Diaz.
He was phenomenal.
He was the best closer in baseball in the first half of the season. He was Edwin Diaz without the trumpets in the first half of the season. And now Diaz has become this phenomenon, as has the rest of the Mets team. Holmes has crashed back to earth. And yeah, I fielded many calls asking me to compare the 98 Yankees with this year's Yankees. And it, when I actually did the exercise and went through position by position, you know, you get 4 or 5 guys into it and you kind of start laughing because, yeah, this team's record was better at the time. They were on a better pace to win more than 114 games. But when you go position by position, this team, and this is where I'm looking at this as a concern for the Yankees, even when they were the best team in baseball and on this historic pace, this was a team with holes. I mean, this was a team with Joey Gallo in left field. I know he's not there anymore. It was a team with Aaron Hicks in center field. It was a team with Josh Donaldson not hitting at third base. And other than Gallo not being there anymore, not a lot of that stuff has changed. I mean, it is still a team with a significant amount of holes. And if they didn't have that big built-up lead from the first 2.5 months of the season, this would be a lot worse right now.
Well, I think a lot of what the Yankees did this offseason, and there were a lot of people that called into our show that weren't, you know, overly thrilled with what Cashman did this offseason, right? We heard, you know, why didn't we sign Correa or go after, you know, one of those, you know, top-tier shortstops? And it was because of Anthony Volpe, and how come we didn't get Luis Castillo was because of, you know, Anthony Volpe, and we weren't willing to include him in the deal. But a lot of what they did this offseason was, you know, we're going to bring in IKF, we bring in Trevino behind the plate, we're going to focus more on, you know, run prevention, and if, you know, Gleyber being back at second could go back to being, you know, the Gleyber we're accustomed to seeing, or play up to, you know, to the back of his baseball card, to his, you know, his true potential, we'd be better off there. And if LeMahieu could have a bounce back season, we'd be better off there. And now, I mean, the addition of Benintendi should make you better, right? Because, you know, no one wanted to see Joey Gallo play in left field. The Stanton injury hurt you. I mean, it really hurt you, the Stanton injury. But Gleyber hasn't been very good. I mean, Gleyber in August has been terrible. So, I mean, that doesn't help you. Benintendi hasn't really been what you've expected when you traded for him. So right now, it's the crazy part about baseball, Pat, man. It's just like you're going to have these stretches, and the great teams find a way to make sure, you know, they can end them as quickly as possible. And right now, the Yankees are having a hard time doing that.
Yankees lose to the Sox 3-0 last night. It's DiPietro and Rothenberg. Pat O'Keefe in for Dave, who's taking some much-needed vacation time this week. You mentioned Torres. He's 0 for his last 22, and he was the guy playing, especially right before the All-Star break. He was just getting back to playing to the back of his baseball card. I thought the move off of shortstop was a huge difference for him this season, but he's kind of reverted back to the guy he was in 2020, the guy he was in 2021. And again, you just look up and down this lineup right now. I mean, 2 hits last night, 2 hits, 11 strikeouts. The bottom third of the order, Rick, Kiner Falefa, Higashioka, Tim LeCastro, and, you know, they gave DJ LeMahieu a day off. He's a little bruised up right now, dealing with a right big toe issue. It's not exactly a lineup that inspires a lot of fear in the opponents right now.
No, it isn't. And you're relying on Aaron Judge to be the best player in baseball. And you get a chance regularly now to see how important Aaron Judge has been to this team's success. Like, he's the guy without a Stanton in the lineup that's been carrying this team. I mean, you mentioned Torres. Gleyber in August is giving you, you know, 136, and he's got one extra base hit for the entire month so far. And that was one of the guys you were going to rely on, especially when you don't have, you know, a lot of depth to that lineup right now. But yeah, man, this team, again, as, you know, as a former athlete being in a locker room at a time like this, you know, I don't, when I was with the Islanders, I was never with a team that really was expected to compete for a championship. But there were plenty of teams I was on where we go into kind of funks like this. And I'm sure in the Yankees clubhouse right now, Aaron Boone, leaders in that team, are just saying, hey, listen, fellas, I mean, we're going to win the AL East. Yeah, it sucks right now that, you know, we've lost all this ground to Houston, and Houston's going to be the team that, if we don't figure this out, it's going to have home field throughout the playoffs here. But, you know, if there was a time to struggle, I mean, if you want to look at the positive side, I guess the time to struggle is now, right? Like, I mean, this isn't the time when you need to be playing your best baseball, but they got to figure it out and figure it out fast here.
How many Yankee fans have called this station on any show in the last 3 weeks and made that case? That's the case for the Yankee fan, because this is my favorite activity of when the Mets are playing really well. It's hearing the Yankee fans up in arms that their team is not on top when their team has been on top for, what, 95% of the time over the last 20 years. But the Yankee fan argument right now that I've heard throughout this station is, well, this is the time where you want to lose. The Mets are peaking too early. Wait till it gets, and which is ridiculous, because if you look at the two teams, and it's hard not to compare the two teams because we got two first place teams in this town right now. If you look at the two teams, which team do you think, regardless of the record, which team is in better position to be dominant in the month of October, regardless of how they're playing right now?
Well, listen, to be completely honest with you, and I've said this the entire time, is I always thought, even when, you know, the Mets went through that month where, you know, they were playing 500 baseball, I always thought that the Mets were better equipped for playoff baseball with their rotation, especially when the Yankees didn't go out and get Castillo and you had Severino get hurt. And I think you get a chance to see how dominant this rotation can be. But again, like, the fact that the Mets are, for the most part, you know, have been healthy now, like, that scares me too, because Jacob DeGrom has a history of, you know, getting injured. So right now Bassett called him an alien the other day. Like, that's how good he's been. Like, hey, and we're not at the finish line yet. So that does scare me a little bit. And I get what you're saying is that's a good excuse that you don't want to peak too early. And right now, you know, Yankees have time to figure it out. But it's getting late early, man. Mm-hmm. It's getting late early. Like, you can only make that argument for so long here.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing to go through a little bit of a rough patch a couple of weeks, but now we're talking about 3-9 in the month of August. I mean, that's one of the worst records in baseball during that stretretDPHO and Rothenberg here, 1-800-919-3776. Ricky spoke about Aaron Boone and what the message he perhaps is delivering in that clubhouse right now. Yankees have a homestand coming up against Tampa Bay and Toronto starting tonight at the stadium. 7-game homestand for the Yankees. Here's what Boone wants to get going during the homestand.
I don't know. We get guys back. You know, we have everything we need. So, you know, we're confident moving forward. You know, we just got to, you know, find a way, especially in these one-run games. You know, we got to push through here and there. And confident we will. We have everything there. Get some guys hopefully back interjected into the lineup or staff and keep plugging at it. You know, obviously we're going home. Be good to go home. We got a tough homestand with some obviously really good teams battling out with us. So look forward to that. But, you know, we got to just get overall. Get a little bit better. We're catching the ball well. We got another good start tonight. That's probably what, six really good starts in a row. We're seeing some good things down in the bullpen. You know, those games we have a chance to win, we got to be able to close out, and hopefully we can get, you know, jump started a little bit too offensively.
Sorry, it's a 9-game homestand. It's 3 against Tampa, it's 4 against Toronto, and then somehow I forgot the 2 at the end of this homestand against the Mets at Yankee Stadium. So not only a 9-game homestand, but against 3 very good opponents.
Yeah, I mean, this is not, you know, this is not the time to be struggling or trying to be figuring it out. I mean, fortunately for them, they have, you know, the luxury of a 10-game lead in their division. But, I mean, if I were to ask you right now what a Yankee fan would be satisfied at the end of the season with, and I don't even care if they get to the ALCS. The way this thing started, if this team doesn't end up in the World Series, Yankees fans are going to be heated with how this thing turned out.
I completely agree. I mean, you have to get to the World Series. And it's been a long time. It's been 13 years since this team played in the World Series. And it's funny because at the beginning of the season, when the season started, and you're right, the fan outrage at the lack of offseason moves made by Brian Cashman didn't lend itself to high expectations. There was a lot of negativity about the Yankees. But then they came out, a lot of guys overperformed. The starting pitching was terrific. The bullpen was terrific. Judge has been awesome all year long. Stanton became an all-star again. And all that added up to this team being 30, 35, 36 games above 500 at one point and playing on this record pace. So then the expectations change. And now it is You got to get to the World Series. Now, the Dodgers are tough. The Mets are tough. The Braves are tough. The Astros are tough. So for you to get to the World Series and not win the World Series, I don't think that would be the end of the world. But the Yankee fans' expectation right now, especially after they turned over a quarter of their roster before the trade deadline, and none of those moves have panned out so far, small sample size, the expectations are to get to the World Series.
Well, yeah, and you could feel it already. We'll take calls today just killing Cashman because that's, I mean, he's the next one up. We'll go from Joey Gallo and how much everyone hates Joey Gallo, and then Hicks stinks, and now the fan base is going to come after Cashman for everything that you just laid out. Inactivity during the offseason, guys that they wanted that the Yankees fan felt like they should get and they didn't, and then they had to take a step back and say, well, maybe Brian Cashman knows what he's talking about, and now, you know, now they're struggling, and it's, you know, why is IKF still playing shortstop? It's, you know, why didn't we go out and get Luis Castillo? The trade deadline stunk. So, yeah, he's the next one up to get the criticism here.
There's only so much that Aaron Judge can cover up. He can't hit a home run every single game. All right, let's get to some of those calls you mentioned. 1-800-919-3776. Eli checking in from Washingtonville this morning. Eli, good morning.
Yeah, Rick, you nailed it on the head. Because I've been a guy that's been trashing Cashman for years now. But listen, all of the things that are going on now is like truth serum to the Yankees. Because when it comes to in the beginning of the season, was a whole bunch of if statements, where if this guy returned to form, or if this guy got better, or if we signed this guy, if we found lightning in a bottle. Great championship teams don't rely on ifs. They go for certainties. And Brian Cashman constantly tries to find lightning in a bottle. Instead of going for, Castillo and thinking that this guy Volpe is the second coming of Babe Ruth, you should have went out and got Castillo. You should have went out and tried to get Soto. You know, and then you trade away a pitcher in Montgomery that right now is doing great in St. Louis. You know, and then you bring in Benintendi. Fine, he's a good contact hitter, but he's not going to solve all the holes in your offense. I started panicking when we got shut out. We got no hit by the Astros. I thought we have to do something about this offense.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, you've been at the top of Major League Baseball and run scored the entire season. Right, and I understand there's always a little piece of every Yankee fan that says to themselves, well, when we get to the postseason, you know, and we're going up against great pitching, this lineup's been, you know, has been shut down in the past, so, you know, that's something that concerns us. But I mean, all I've ever heard from Yankees fans is exactly that. We're too reliant on the home run. Joey Gallo stinks. All he does is strike out. He's not hitting enough home runs. We need a contact hitter in the lineup. Well, that's why you brought in Benintendi. Now, that's always the wild card with the Yankees, is can a guy come from Kansas City, or can Frankie Montas come from Oakland and all of a sudden put the pinstripes on with this kind of expectation and have success? That's always the wild card, and that's the risk you run. But like I don't think there's a lot of Yankees fans out there. Well, maybe there is, but I know the majority of the phone calls that we've taken so far is Yankees should have been all in to try to win now. And I get you want to hold on to prospects, and that sounds great, but a lot of these prospects that Yankees fans have heard about that are supposed to be the next coming really haven't panned out, right? I mean, there's just at a certain point, like, yeah, the hope is great, but if that never materializes itself into, you know, actually being up with the big club and helping, then what good are all these prospects?
You know, you look at where they are right now, Rick, and it's not a bad point. The Yankees should have gone all in because they've been in contention to make the playoffs every single year. They've made the playoffs most years recently, but they were never at the level they were playing at in the first half of this season. So you do wonder, you look down the line, will that cost them not going in this season? Because these opportunities don't come around that often.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat O'Keefe in for Dave this week, sitting alongside Rick as the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 in Boston over the weekend. We'll get to the Mets. They take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. A huge, huge series coming up. Let me touch on them real quick, Rick, because it is interesting. Because you thought for a second, and the Mets are playing so well, you thought they were out of the woods. They're only up 5.5 games over the Braves right now. They've got a 4-game series in Atlanta. So a week ago, we were talking about you could put the Braves behind you for good. One thing the Braves stopped doing once they left Citi Field a week ago, they stopped losing games. So that's going to be a really, really interesting week in Atlanta. 4 more games between these two teams with the division lead sitting at 5.5 games right now.
Yeah, it didn't let up. The Atlanta Braves won't let up. I mean, they're a scary team, man.
Tough.
I mean, we'll have only on Buster on today. I was listening to Passan last week, and they still, like, as well as the Mets played against Atlanta, taking 4 or 5, and is as good as maybe it's changed now with, you know, having a chance now to see DeGrom a couple times, and Scherzer's just, I mean, he's freaking awesome. But like, a lot of these guys are still looking at the Braves as a team that could end up in the World Series. So I mean, they're a really good team, and they got off to a slow start, and they found their way back into this thing. But I said it earlier in the show, man, like there is this excitement watching this team. My son was a big Aaron Judge fan, loved Aaron Judge. My wife decided she wanted to send him to like a Yankee summer baseball camp for some reason, because that was the only one in the area, and he gets to go to Yankee Stadium, and all of a sudden he's an Aaron Judge fan. And I took him to one Mets game earlier this year, got him and I'm trying to bribe him to become a Mets fan. I got the DeGrom jersey, and then all of a sudden he hears the Edwin Diaz trumpets, and Diaz comes out with the trumpets the other day, and we got the black and white, and he's walking on the field. He's dancing with the trumpets. So, like, there's this excitement. This is a fun team to watch. You got Vogel back running around. Like, and there's also this, like, little trepidation. It's like, oh, man, I just wish, could we just start the playoffs right now? Like, I just, like, everything is perfect right now. Like, let's just, outside of Guillerme tweaking his groin, like, let's just get this thing going right now, because, I mean, the rotation is just lights out. DeGrom is lights out. Scherzer's lights out. Bassett was good again. Like, let's just get this thing going. But if you're a Mets fan, there's not a lot to be unhappy with right now.
This week will be fun. And in the 4 games, you have Scherzer and DeGrom pitching the last 2 games of the series. For the Mets right now, this is the scenario of, if everything goes well, what can this look like? Clutch hitting in the lineup, led by Alonso, led by Francisco Lindor, the lockdown closer that you mentioned, and most importantly, when we're talking about playoffs, and we're close enough now that all of our conversations really should filter through what these teams can look like in the playoffs, those two dudes at the top of the rotation. And yeah, you still hold your breath with DeGrom. I know I do. Every time I see him out there, I shake my head at how brilliant he is. He is kind of like an alien, like Bassett said, but I also hold my breath every time. Now, at some point, I hope to get past that, but it's only been 3 starts, and he's still on a pitch limit, but my God, what this could look like if this continues.
No, and that, you mentioned Edwin Diaz. I mean, he wasn't even, like, that was as bad as we've seen him on Saturday. Like, he could not, he had no control of the slider at all, and he still found a way to get himself through it. But, I mean, DeGrom, the fact that DeGrom could take that much time off, miss that much time, and then come back and just look like he hasn't skipped a beat. Like, he might even be better. Like, I mean, he's, dude, it's like, as good as some of these guys are, you watch him pitch, and it's like, it's a different level. It's, I mean, 101, 102, a filthy slider that nobody can touch. It's like, guy's just special. He really is.
Yeah. You have no chance. You feel like you have no chance to hit him when you're watching him pitch against an opponent. So the Mets win 6-0 yesterday, 2 out of 3 from the Phillies this week. And again, the Yankees shut out again. Yankees are now 8-15 since the All-Star break. After the game last night, and Judge had a tough night, one of those tough nights similar to the one that he had against Max Scherzer last month. Judge afterwards last night was asked if his team's play since the All-Star break is a head-scratcher.
Not at all. It's baseball. You know, you're going to go through stretches like this. Every team does. So it's just about us staying consistent. You know, don't sit on our woes here. Don't hang our head. You know, we're not happy about it, but there's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of things we need to improve on and keep working on. So now it's time to move on to the next game. We got a big series coming up with Tampa coming into town. Time to move on.
0-for-4, 3 strikeouts last night for Aaron Judge. Michael Wacha was brilliant. He retired the first 14 batters that he faced, pitching for the first time since June, coming off a lengthy stay on the injured list. Sorry, DiPietro and Rothenberg, 1-800-919-3776. Let's get back to some of these Yankee calls. Yov checking in from Israel. Yov, how you doing?
Good morning, Rick. How are you guys doing this morning?
What's going on, Yov?
You know, I'm very upset, Rick. I mean, you know how much I hate losing to the Red Sox. I mean, this is probably my most hated team. And, I mean, I think the Gleyber Torres situation is a real problem because I think the Gleyber Torres is the key for the Yankees to succeed. I mean, this lineup without Gleyber Torres looking good is just not a good lineup. I mean, who are you looking at? Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Andrew Benintendi is a great contact guy. But if you don't get that power from Gleyber Torres, that's not going to be good enough, I think.
Well, I think Gleyber Torres is important. I also think that not having Giancarlo Stanton in that lineup is a huge loss. I mean,
but let's say they got Giancarlo Stanton back. They got Stanton, they got Judge. Who else? I mean, who are you afraid to throw strikes to? I mean, who are you pitching carefully to? Pitch carefully to Judge and Stanton, and that's it. That's the entire Yankees lineup.
Well, no, I think Rizzo can hurt you.
Rizzo is a low average hitter. He can get you in a big spot, but we need Gleyber. We need 270, 25 home run Gleyber. That's what the Yankees lineup have to in order to be good.
Well, it was real good. Gleyber was real good the first half of the season. There was, and I thought this was a little overblown, but there was some talk that he deserved a spot on the All-Star team right before the season. His June was really good. His early July was really good. And, you know, Gleyber's had an interesting career, right? He comes up 21 years old, biggest prospect in the organization, the centerpiece of the Aroldis Chapman trade, and he was good right away. You know, 2018, he was an All-Star as a rookie. 2019, he had 38 home runs. I mean, half of them came against the Baltimore Orioles, but he was an All-Star again. And then, you know, you never know how to judge guys for poor performance during COVID. And that's something you always have to take with a grain of salt. But he took a huge step back in 2020. He took a huge step back in 2021. I think a lot of people felt that was because he was playing shortstop and he was uncomfortable. I tend to agree with that. But he still has never returned to that guy he was in 2019. And now he's 25, 26 years old, Rick. And you start to wonder, is it ever going to happen for this guy? Is he ever going to put it together and be that 38 home run type guy we saw his second season in the majors?
It doesn't feel like it. It does not feel like it. And I get what Yova's saying. Because, again, this is not the expectations from Yankees fans is that, you know, win the AL East, then we'll see what happens. It's win the AL East. A lot of Yankees fans thought that it was going to be home field throughout the American League playoffs, and then it was going to be, at the very least, a trip to the World Series. But here's the crazy part with the Yankees, too. And I mentioned it earlier in the show. So Friday, you have the lead. Clay Holmes, who was, I mean, was the best closer in baseball in the first half of the season, All-Star. I mean, he just, again, walks are killing him right now. Can't control his sinker, but he's just missing on the corners. You end up blowing that game, so you lose that one. And rather than, you know, take 2 or 3, you lose 2 out of 3. But, I mean, this Yankees team, and I get this scuffling, and Yov mentions, you know, well, who do you fear in the lineup? The Yankees still are number one in all Major League Baseball in home runs. They are second in runs. They have the third best team ERA in all of baseball. They did exactly what they were trying to do this offseason and became, I mean, as far as defensive run saves, they're number one in baseball. And oh, by the way, they've cut down on the strikeouts. They're only 14th in Major League Baseball in strikeouts. So, like, all the things that Brian Cashman was attempting to do this offseason, like, I mean, they, and again, I know they're struggling right now. They've kind of achieved those. Let's hit, I mean, let's lead the league in home runs and cut down on strikeouts. Check, we've done that. You obviously want to score, you know, as many runs as possible. We're second right now. I mean, Dodgers are different level right now. And we have the third best team ERA in all of baseball, which was the best, in all of baseball before the team started to struggle.
Run differential, too.
So I get it.
Yeah, plus 201 run differential, second best run differential in baseball, behind only the Dodgers, who, like you said, are on a different level right now. Look, Cashman will tell you that they're not whole right now. You know, Cashman will tell you that a lot of his moves were designed to shore up the team's defense, and they gave away a really reliable starting pitcher for a guy who's supposed to strengthen the team's outfield defense in Harrison Bader, who hasn't been able to play yet. So that's a net loss right now. He'll also tell you that Giancarlo Stanton, who was an all-star, has not played since the all-star break. Big piece of this puzzle. People, when Stanton's not in the lineup, you don't really have to throw the ball down the middle of the plate to Aaron Judge as often because, to Yov's point, who are you going to fear in the lineup behind Aaron Judge? Right now, you got Gleyber Torres there. You got Josh Donaldson there. You got Rizzo there, who's not 100%. So Stanton changes a lot. His absence changes a lot in this Yankees lineup.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people expect it is, you know, as good as the defense has been at third base from Josh Donaldson, I think there's a lot of people that expected a little bit more offensively from him. You know, I mean, 11 home runs, 224, that's not, I mean, and again, I get he's an older player, but you'd expect a little bit more from him. But, I mean, I think we're underselling, and it's, I don't think this is an excuse. I think this is a reason. I think we're underselling how important Stanton is to this lineup and how good. I know Judge is the best player in baseball, and he's, I mean, they, if you watch the game last night, they went through the list of things that Aaron Judge leads Major League Baseball in, and it felt like the end of Spaceballs when they went through, like, you know, like the at the end of, like, the list was that long. I mean, he's been that good, but Giancarlo Stanton is having a good season, and he's a, I mean, he's a really good player that you're missing from that lineup.
Yeah, they're not whole right now, and the pitching isn't whole right now either. Severino's out until the middle of September, so that factors in, but at some point, you got to play better than 250 baseball, and that's where they are right now. All right, we'll take a break. More of your calls on the Yankees. Just how much is the sky falling right now? We'll get into the Mets more. The Mets are now 35 games above 500. A record-breaking performance yesterday for Francisco Lindor as they just continue to roll and continue to click on all levels.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The biggest shortcoming you can say about the Mets is that they're peaking too early. Well, if this is peaking too early and this is what that looks like, then sign me up for this whenever you can for my team. Because right now the Mets, after their 6-0 win over the Phillies, a Phillies team, by the way, that came into Citi Field playing excellent baseball, right in the thick of the wild card race in the National League. And the Mets just took 2 out of 3 from them, and they continue to roll pitching, hitting, bullpen. I mean, they're playing as well as any team in baseball right now, perhaps outside of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And that's it. And I think it's, I think part of that, though, Pat, is just is the shock of how this thing has turned. I mean, Yankees start off, what, 52-18, best team in baseball. Will they break the, you know, the regular season wins record? And now we're here on August 15th, and everyone knew the Mets were good. And, you know, figured once DeGrom, you know, DeGrom was back, they'd take that you know, that next step. But to be sitting here now and the Mets have a better record than the Yankees, I mean, Yankees fans have to be shocked by that. And probably worried, because when you look at, I mean, they're paying attention. You know they're paying attention. And they're probably feeling the same way Mets fans are feeling, or I felt the entire time, is that the way this thing is set up with DeGrom and Scherzer at the top of that line, that top of that rotation, the way this Mets lineup, you know, grinds down starting pitching, the way they run the bases. You saw McNeil yesterday, you know, steal a run, just heads up play with two outs, steals the run there. The addition of Buck, Alonso and Lindor playing, you know, at you know, MVP cal, you know, at MVP kind of levels. I mean, this Mets team, and I know you mentioned the Dodgers, but this Mets team in the postseason is going to be a problem for anybody that they play. Anybody. Yeah,
the Dodgers just had a 13-game winning streak snap. They have the best record in baseball. But I agree with you. I don't put this Mets team behind anybody in a 5-game series, in a 7-game series. Yesterday was their 16th shutout, leading all of Major League Baseball. They are now 75-40. They're 35 games above 500 for the first time since September of 2006. That's almost a generation ago that they have had a record this good. I remember the team well in 2006. They went to Game 7 of the NLCS, heartbreaking loss to the St. Louis Cardinals. This team, the eye test, is much better than that team was in 2006. This feels like the best Mets team that we have seen since the 1986 team. And that's legendary status. Not saying that they're on that level. And Rick, this is the first time you and I have worked together. I know you guys have discussed this ad nauseum, as have I in my shows. But what you just described, the base running, the heads-up fundamental play, McNeil taking that extra base and stealing a run there, that all starts with the manager. And it has been such a glaring difference with that guy in the dugout since day one of this season. The talent doesn't hurt. They're a very talented team as well. But they had talent the last couple of years. The presence of Buck Showalter right now literally changed everything from day one.
Well, it's getting the most out of your talent, right? Like, yeah, I mean, that's the number one, you know, the number one priority for any manager or coach is, and I know you need talent to win, but it's to get the most of out of what you have, and to get the most out of, you know, your best players. And, you know, Francisco Lindor, you mentioned it earlier in the show, you know, sets the, you know, the Mets record for most RBI by you know, a shortstop. Like, he's having that kind of season after a, I mean, really bad in a bunch of different ways season last year. You know, how he reacted with the fans, production on the field, all of it was bad for Francisco Lindor, and he's bounced back in a huge way. Pete's been great. But, yeah, I mean, I followed this team, you know, as closely as any team. Baseball, I mean, I know I played hockey, but baseball is my favorite sport, and I love the Mets, and went through that whole, you know, ride with Matt Harvey through the, you know, through the World Series. And where this team is at now, the way that they play baseball, the additions that they've made, including Buck, just because I think they all recognized, any Mets fan would have told you this too, is that there was something missing in the clubhouse, because there are a lot of talented teams that just aren't, or just okay, or just, you know, whatever kind of teams. And they had talent. It was just, you know, that was lack of accountability. It was just like players were running amok in that clubhouse, and they needed to bring in a guy like Buck, and they needed to bring in some veteran players like Canna and Escobar and Marte, and most importantly, Scherzer, because I think he's had a huge effect on this team. And you see now, you watch this team play, and it's like they're exciting. You got to, you know, you can tell that they're having fun playing, but they just do. I mean, they approach every game with that same mentality, where it's, you know, we're not focused on, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, what happened the previous day. Today is the focus, and it's, you know, taking the extra base. It's whatever it takes, by any means necessary, we're going to find a way to win this thing. And then you take that mentality and add, you know, the kind of talent, especially with the rotation. I mean, the three games against Philly, and Philly was playing good baseball, and they got a good offense. And between Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett, they gave you 18 innings of one earned run, 21 strikeouts. Like, they completely shut them down. Like, shut them down. So, yeah, man, I mean, this is the best Mets team. This is the best Mets team that I've seen
since I became
a Mets fan.
I am right there with you. And a Phillies team, by the way, you talk about what they did to their offense, a Phillies team that is a playoff caliber team, a playoff team right now, and a team that's built on offense. A team, I know, even without Bryce Harper, but a team with an excellent lineup, a really powerful lineup. Chris Bassitt has not allowed an earned run in, was it 24 innings now?
Yep.
Five scoreless innings yesterday, 24 consecutive innings without allowing an earned run. He's the fifth starter. Playoff start tomorrow. He's in the bullpen. That's how deep this team is. You got Carlos Carrasco, who's been excellent, starting this four-game series against the Braves tonight, against Spencer Strider. We'll see if Strider thinks if the Mets are any better.
I'm so sick of that, too, by the way. I'm so sick of that garbage. And you keep hearing it about the Mets don't hit the ball hard, and it's bloops, and it's luck. It's, just shut up.
Just shut up, man. Come on. It's embarrassing to act that way. This team is the best team in the National League right now. They're leading you by 5.5 games in the standings, and they beat you. And you gotta be aware enough, and maybe he doesn't care. We'll see tonight how he reacts. I mean, if he goes out and throws a gem, all respect to him. But come on, man, you gotta know you're gonna see these guys again. Just shut up and move on.
Yeah, but that's by design. Like, I mean, I get it. Anyone that has, you can use it for whatever you want, right? Like, so you have a guy that's struggling, and it'll be like, whoa. I mean, like, this is the whole Joey Gallo thing. Well, look at his hard hit ball percentage. He's just getting, like, I don't care. Is he getting hits or not? No, he's not getting hits. Okay, well, that does me no good. I don't care if he hits the ball hard, but he's out every time. That does me no good. So it's like Buck said it last night. It's by design. We're focused on getting balls in play. And when you get enough balls in play, good things are going to happen. And you see that. They put pressure on other teams' defense. They put pressure on other teams', you know, starting pitching. They did it to Strider last time he pitched against them. They wear you down. It's 25 pitches. It's 30 pitches an inning. And it's just, it's relentless from top to bottom. That's what this team is. With unbelievable starting pitching and a lights-out, lockdown, best closer in baseball. Our only concern really is how do we get the ball from our starter to Edwin Diaz?
A concern. Yes, agreed. Nobody's perfect. No team is perfect. I agree. That's the biggest concern right now. But then you also look at the playoffs and you're like, okay, well, Chris Bassett's going to be out there.
Well, I don't know about that. See, here's where I may disagree with you. For me, Chris Bassitt, and I know Taiwan Walker's great and Carlos Carrasco is great, but as far as like bulldog playoff mentality, like regardless of pressure, this guy's going to find a way. I don't know. I kind of like Chris Bassitt. I do.
And that could change.
Well, it could change. Listen, but they got five great starters. You're going to get McGill back. McGill would be the one I probably would point to if he's right. That could end up maybe, you know, being that eighth inning guy because his stuff is so filthy, if he can do it. But, I mean, I think you saw the blueprint the other day. It's, you know, starter. Listen, I mean, I know Jake is on a pitch limit now. I mean, perfect world, he gives you seven or eight. But if he gave you the six, you go Lugo, May, and then get the ball into Diaz's hands, and it's night-night termite. But I don't know, man. Let's just start the playoffs now. I'm ready. Let's go.
They're ready, too. More days off, too. More days off in the playoffs, so more opportunity for Edwin Diaz to get some more of those four or five.
And by the way,
success
can I ask
saves.
You a question, Pat? I hate to interrupt you, but this was bothering me the whole weekend. Did you watch, and I don't know, you probably heard it, but and I'm so sick of it because it dominates my TV and I can't flip back and forth, which is my biggest problem because I already got the apps. But the Mets game on Friday, the Apple Plus vehicle?
No.
We'll get the sound. I think, RJ, we'll find the sound for that, where they had no idea what was going on when Escobar and McNeil left at the same time. They're like, we're going to have to call. I'll let you listen to the sound, but they had zero clue as to what was going on. It was like it was a debacle.
You know, I've kind of given up trying to watch baseball on Friday nights.
It's just too much, man. It's all over the place.
It's too much work.
Ugh.
You know what the biggest thing I miss is? I miss flipping channels.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the biggest thing. You know, you're watching the Mets on SNY, the inning ends, you could flip over to the Yankees on YES on a normal Friday night or a normal night. But Friday night, you know, even if you go through all the work of loading up Apple Plus and you're watching the Mets game, they go to commercial, then you got to find your other remote, you got to pull up Amazon Prime. I've given up. So I just drink heavily on Friday nights and catch up on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe I can set up the hibachi to your house situation. Get a little sake out of a super soaker. Nice little touch.
I heard about that. Part of your wild weekend. You know what I learned recently? I took my kids to a hibachi restaurant out in Miller Place last week. What they have like a little squirt bottle. Yeah, obviously the sake for the adults, but they have a little squirt bottle for the kids too.
And yeah, they do the water shooters.
I didn't do as much investigating as a good father should for my 10-year-old daughter and my 8-year-old son, but I'm told that they were being squirted with water in their mouth instead of sake. I should have probably checked before they did, but they seemed okay when we were leaving the restaurant.
Yeah, as they stumble out of the restaurant. Hey, boss, I think we got a problem. That Pat O'Keefe table, I think I gave the kids the sake instead of the water.
Listen, I don't know if it's going to change their behavior that much either way. All right, here, DPA Patrol and Rothenberg. Pat O'Keefe in for Rick. Or excuse me, Rick's here. Pat O'Keefe in for Dave on Monday morning. 1-800-919-3776. You know, there we go. Francisco Lindor, and you mentioned his struggles last year. It's no coincidence. So you look at, there's so many guys in the Mets lineup, and this goes back to Buck. And this is managing. There's so many guys in the Mets lineup that are playing better this year. And first and foremost is Lindor. And yesterday, an RBI single to get the Mets on the board in their 6-0 win. His 82nd RBI. And here we have about 45 games remaining in the season. And he has already broken the Mets single season record for most RBIs by a shortstop, breaking a record by a pretty good shortstop in Jose Reyes. Here's Lindor on his record after the game yesterday.
It's a blessing. God is good. I want to win as much games. I'm happier with that than the RBIs. I mean, I'm happy because I'm contributing to the team W. So that makes me happy for sure.
You know what's so important, though, Pat? And this is something that we talked about earlier this season, just because I think, Dave forces me to do, preseason predictions, who's going to win divisions and everything else. And I'll be honest, I picked the Braves to win the division. I mean, you're talking about a team that won the World Series without their best player, no Ozuna. Like, I just thought that they would be right there. And they had a little bit of a, World Series hangover, whatever you want to call it. And then you look at the numbers from their team and they try to compare them to, like, why did this team have success? And between Freddie Freeman and Swanson and Albies and Austin Riley, like, their best players played almost every single game. Maybe they missed one or two, maybe. And then you look at what Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso have been able to do this season. Like, that, I've been critical at times of Francisco Lindor just because I have such high expectations for him. And when you have a guy on a 10-year deal, like, you expect the first half of that deal to be the best portion of that deal. So it was like, okay, like, we gave you 10 years, $341 million. The expectation is you're going to play at an MVP kind of level, like, and help, carry this team to where it needs to go. And, it was good, it was bad, it was good. Like, it was a little bit of a roller coaster here early on, but he's kind of now, figured it out where he's been really consistent. But the fact that he's played 114 games, Pete Alonso's played 114 games, when your two best players play every single day and contribute every single day, what that means for the rest of the lineup, like, that's a big deal. It's a huge deal for them.
That's a huge deal. And I think that's something that's still lacking with the Yankees. And
yes,
I think that's the difference between Buck Showalter and a quote-unquote new age manager like Aaron Boone. And I'm not going to sit here and say that's 100% Boone's decision to rest, for example, DJ LeMahieu last night. But here you have a team that's scuffling, especially offensively. They scored 5 runs in the first 2 games of this series. You're 3-8 coming into last night in the month of August. And on Sunday Night Baseball, you roll out a bottom 3 of your lineup with Kiner Falefa, Higashioka, and the Ithaca Bomber, Tim LeCastro.
See, but that's what pisses me off, though. See, that's what pisses me off about the Yankees, and I love about the Mets. Like, even going into that Braves series, like, the Mets weren't shying away from this was a big series. Like, this was, we get it, it's not the playoffs, and that's the most meaningful baseball. But this is, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, in the list of things we need to achieve to get to a World Series, like, winning the division is very important. So we're not going to shy away from the fact that, we're trying to win this division. This is a big series. It's like, the Mets aren't afraid of that, and we'll tell you that. And it's like the Yankees are like, ho-hum, yeah, we're just going to get through the regular season. This guy needs rest. It's a scheduled off day. It's like, no, like, come on, man. Like, it's these games are important. Like, coming out of the break, the games against Houston, those are important. You want home field. Like, don't shy away from that. Like, those are things, like, those should be on your checklist of things to accomplish before you get to the postseason.
No, it's important, especially when you remember 2017 and the Yankees lost a Game 7 in Houston. And then 2019, they had to go to Houston again, and they lost a Game 6 on a walk-off home run by Altuve. So,
but Houston just got better, too. Houston just got Lance McCullers back, too.
Yeah. Speaking of 2017, he was lights out in that Game 7 in Houston.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.